Dr. Anna Konopka, a physician in New London, surrendered her medical license in October to settle allegations from the New Hampshire Board of Medicine around her prescribing practices. Months later, she's still fighting to reopen her doors. But as the doctor's battle plays out in the courts, we wondered what happened to her patients who found themselves without a doctor. Many of them are low income and rely on pain medication day to day. NHPR's Rita Green has the story.
I meet Belinda Clark at her place, up on a hill in Charlestown, New Hampshire, tucked down a back road in the woods.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
She's just finished a big move.
I moved from one campground in Wethersfield to an RV in front of my mother's house in Charlestown.
This annual migration from a seasonal campground to her mother's property in the winter months is how she survives on her disability income of about $12,000 a year. Moving is particularly hard, though, for Clark because she's not supposed to lift more than 8 pounds at once.
Total. No more weight than a gallon of milk.
She was working as a nurse in 2004 when a patient fell on her. Hard, and she was left with permanent damage to her spine. We step inside her RV and sit on her bed.
Do you mind if I sit next to you?
No,
is that okay?
When her doctor, Anna Konopka, settled complaints with the New Hampshire Board of Medicine this past fall, Clark got little notice that she'd be losing her physician. Her pain medication is prescribed in one-month increments, so to stay on her current regimen, she'd have to scramble to find someone else to give her an appointment in short order. So far, Clark hasn't found another doctor who's willing to take her. Her strategy for now is to stretch her pills, take a lower dose.
Hence the reason why right now my back is doing this.
She takes her fist and clenches it in and out.
And my shoulders are hurting just from sitting.
Without a doctor, Clark faces not just the return of debilitating pain, but also withdrawal. The same is true for dozens of Konopka's patients across western New Hampshire and eastern Vermont. Just across the Connecticut River, for example, lives Michael Kennett. Like Clark, he has a bad back. He's had 4 different surgeries, and he has a lung condition that makes it hard for him to breathe.
My lungs are filling up with fluid, but it's a daily battle. I'm used to it. But yeah, I'm getting sore.
Sitting at his kitchen table, Kennett wears a Dartmouth College sweatshirt that's worn thin at the neck and sleeves. The color's faded to a pale bluish green. He heard the news that Konopka was closing her doors from the doctor directly, not long before he saw her for the last time.
I cried. I knew. If I didn't do something, I wouldn't make it through this winter. I talked to my wife about it. I still feel it's true.
Without his doctor, he says, he's afraid he won't make it through this winter. Today, he has one more day before his Percocet runs out. About a month later, when I come back, he still hasn't found another doctor willing to prescribe the pills. He doesn't look well. He's stumbling over his words, and one of his eyes is red and swollen. There's 2 mugs on the table. He pours coffee in one, then looks away and pours cream in the other. He shakes his head at his mistake.
I'm telling you, it's been a long night.
Did you sleep at all?
No, I couldn't. It was an agony all night.
He takes out a cigarette to calm his nerves. He tells me he's been sick from withdrawal for several days, throwing up, cold shakes. He says Dr. Konopka's been trying to find another doctor to refer him to, but so far, no luck.
And I haven't had any pain medicines, so.
With the opioid crisis, doctors across the country are under increasing pressure around their prescribing practices. Some say that's leading to unintended consequences for some chronic pain patients. People like Clark and Kennett, who struggle to find primary care physicians who are willing to keep them on the medication they've relied on, in some cases for decades. Dr. Gerard Hevren is medical director at a pain management center in Manchester. He says they've been getting more and more referrals from other doctors in recent years, doctors unwilling to treat a patient who has long-term pain.
With the word of you have pain, oh my goodness, you have to go to a pain specialist, rather than saying, oh, you have pain, let me begin the process of understanding the cause and the source of that pain and treat the underlying issue.
Many of Konopka's patients say a pain clinic is not what they're looking for. They're looking for a primary care doctor, someone who will treat all their symptoms and learn their medical history and treatment plan, like they say Konopka did. Kennett says he understands the scale of the opioid problem, but he feels in all the attempts to find a solution, people like him have been forgotten.
Some of our deaths are considered acceptable losses. We're old. We're supposed to die. Well, I don't know who's keeping score, but I'm not ready yet.
In Konopka's case, details of the Board of Medicine's specific allegations remain sealed. It's difficult to know what exactly resulted in the doctor losing her license, but it's also difficult to know whether it's left her patients in any way better off than before. For NHPR News, I'm Breacha Green.